There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Another hour. Lots to do this hour. Also, right now it's time to talk to my buddy David McCreary at LCM Motor Cars. He was traveling, globetrotting the other day, going to find vehicles. It sounds like you found them and they're bringing them home.
Yeah, the only good thing about being down there other than buying a bunch of cars is you pass by the Walt Disney World sign, but you don't get to go. We ended up buying 24. I think we talked about that Wednesday. We got a ton of vehicles that are actually in transit right now. They loaded a bunch of them this morning. We've got three truckloads of cars and trucks coming. Three truckloads. So they will be here this evening and tomorrow. One may straggle into Monday, but we will have a ton of inventory for people to look at this afternoon and tomorrow. If you're out and about and you want to come see us, now's the time. And we got price ranges all the way from nothing to up.
Now, okay, so if somebody wants to get the advanced look, they could start that, like you said, this afternoon and for sure tomorrow.
Absolutely. We've got pictures of everything. So if you call us and you want us to send you a picture of something, just get, you know, we can text it to you or however.
Okay, so you can do it online, you can do it in text, and if people want to do it the old-fashioned way and see you in person, how do they find you?
That's what we'd prefer, seeing them in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. That's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068, or you can go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Now, the website's not going to have the pictures of the new cars yet, but I do have them on my phone, and I can text them to you.
Good stuff, David. We appreciate it. We'll check back with you next week.
Have a good weekend.
You too. David McCreary checking in from LCM Motor Cars, where the inventory's coming on in. Speaking of inventory, you know this person's voice and name. Of course, you hear her on Monday nights here at FM Talk 106.5, home of host of Sweet Home Canabama and the boss at Canabama, Jennifer Boozer, joining me in studio. Good to see you.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Now, this is, we're going to do a couple things. We're talking about what's going on this weekend, but you are a person to talk to when we talk about this. I think the word I wrote in my notes, let me go, I think I said debacle.
Something
cluster.
Like that.
I said cluster, and then
dumpster
I
dumpster fire. Yeah, cluster. It starts with cluster and rhymes with duck.
That's right. So I want to, exactly. I want to get to that on medical marijuana. But first of all, what's going on with you this weekend?
Well, this weekend we are having our third annual 420 festival. We made history in the state when we did it in 2022. And we are not at Bienville Square this year because the park is not open yet. It was supposed to be open March 1st.
Yeah.
And then they've landscaped it so much that I wouldn't be able to use it for an event anyway. I'm not sure what their thinking was there. But the city's fees went from $570 last year to like $3,000 this year.
Wow.
So we couldn't afford it anyway.
So where you moved to?
We're going to move it to the shop, 558 St. Francis Street. We have a permit to block off the entire street, and we have two. We're lucky. I have the best parking in downtown. So we have street-side parking, but we have two big parking lots right next to the store that we're going to have cleared out for the food trucks and the vendors and all this stuff. We're going to do a blunt rolling competition with a golden blunt trophy.
Okay.
And we're going to have music. We're going to have vendors. We're going to have carnival games, face painting, snow cones. There's going to be vendors. We're going to have a defense attorney, Maxine Walters, will be there to talk to people about expungement. And then I will be speaking, and I believe one of the boys from Ocity will be speaking on the state of cannabis in Alabama and the bills that that are staring down the barrel at us, and educate. Our whole point to do this is normalize getting together in public, consuming, and nothing bad happening,
okay, well,
and nobody being crazy.
But consuming what? Because the marijuana is not legal.
No, it's not. It's not. But hemp is in. It's the same family. It's essentially the same plant. The chemical makeup, legally speaking, whether it's 0.3% or not, is really the only the distinguisher. So we have what's called hemp products. The difference between the word hemp and the word marijuana is whether it's more or less than 0.3% THC by dry weight. So, but we have edibles, we have smokable products, unfortunately for the sheriff.
Well, and I want to get to that a little bit. That was mm-hmm. part of my question too, because up in smoke thing. I got to tell you, as a person that you've known me for a long time mm-hmm. about liberty and mm-hmm. people do, but at the same time, you know, whether that's marijuana or not, it's this. If I would be sitting at a traffic light, mm-hmm. and this is where I come from on this, and people mm-hmm. go, man, it's because you, and yeah, I don't smoke weed, but I mean, it's
I don't smoke it either.
Okay, well, but I'm just saying that my problem with it isn't that it's weed, it's my problem with it is it's just there's the rule of law. If I'm sitting at the traffic light and I got a Coors Light can, right?
Right, exactly.
And it's hanging out my window.
Exactly.
And I'm pulled up at the traffic light and somebody's like, kids,
that's not legal.
That's not legal. So my issue is not that the person drinks Coors Light, it's they're driving and drinking and they're being obvious. So that's my issue with, you know, stopping at every traffic light and smelling weed is this idea. It's not that I'm like, oh, I'm so mad at them for smoking weed, but I'm saying, hey, if it's against the law, I wouldn't be hanging, you know,
of course. It out. Of course. And people have done it forever. The black market thrives because of the legislation that we're going to discuss and the astronomical prices and the high taxes that states impose because they can. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else you get, you know, 10% sales tax and, you know, the state wants 24 by itself, which will make the taxes into the 30% range. And but the black market thrives because we don't have access to the full spectrum, if you will, of the plant.
Yeah, but then how does that change? But once again, I mean, that's like, so I support this idea of saying if you're doing this in public and it's against the law, it's not about the thing. It's
well,
about
in
the
this
law,
case, it really is about the thing because there are products that are illegal and there are products that are legal and they look and they smell the same. So then it is.
So what's law enforcement supposed to do?
Well, then here's what Mobile Police Department and I do. And this was on their suggestion. We were already supplying our customers with a COA if they had something that was a certificate of authenticity, a lab report that proves it's within the law and that it's clean. It has no mycotoxins, bacteria, all that. It's both for us to know what the quality is and for law enforcement and the customer to know that it is legal and this is exactly what's in this plant. And so, but what Mobile Police Department suggested for us to do and has worked wonders for a long time in the city is they told us to have our customers hang on to the original packaging and a receipt from Cannabama. So when you come in and you want to buy a pre-rolled joint, it comes in a tube. It has a label on it. This says Cannabama, pre-rolled, you know, hemp, and it says the name of the strain and whether it's an indica or sativa. And then you have a receipt that says, here, I bought one indica pre-roll from Cannabama for $16 or whatever. So when they get stopped... And this happened at Mardi Gras. Lots of customers came back and reported how awesome it was because one of them was surrounded by like five undercovers. And they were like, sir, put that out. You're going to have to come with us. And he said, but wait, I bought this from Cannabama. And he had the tube. Even though the joint was still in his hand, he kept the original packaging.
Yeah.
And he had the receipt because we told him to. And they said, okay, you're free to go. And that happened to several people because Mobile Police knows my reputation, knows our reputation at the store. They don't need to know whether or not you're reliable. They know that if you bought it there, then they could count on the fact that we do our due diligence and it's going to be a legal hemp product. And beyond that, I don't know. I don't know what other stores are doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're telling their customers. I don't know if they've ever spoken to Mobile PD, but we do this with every single customer.
When I pull up at a traffic light and the smell of marijuana, this
you
may be
you could
hemp.
Be smelling a CBD joint that has no impairing properties whatsoever.
It could be the same as somebody's hanging a beer out the window, but it happens to be a non-alcoholic.
Right, like, and O'Doul's.
Or Caliber. Guinness makes one called Caliber that's tasty.
Yeah, I remember old O'Doul's from like the 90s.
Yeah, same age. So that's what you're saying it's equivalent to.
Yes.
So somebody would see that beer bottle or something and say, oh, they're drinking, but the fact is it's a non-alcoholic.
The fact that the label says this has no alcohol in it. They trust the label on the bottle because that company has a reputation.
Okay.
And that's the same thing. So, like I said, I don't know what other stores tell anybody. I tell my customers things that they say, oh, nobody ever told me that before, and I've shopped all over town. There's a lot of things I could list.
Okay.
But this is an important one because it eases the burden on law enforcement. Mm-hmm. That they know, okay, this is a local business. I've been there 5.5 years. We have gone through every kind of everything you can imagine and been robbed 4 times. Law enforcement and I interact often.
Gotcha.
But they know, they trust that we know what we're doing and we are following the law. I agree with you. If it's against the law, we don't do it.
Right.
Regardless of what it is.
And that's been my worry with this.
100%.
They
should at least stop and ask because there are tons of people who will smoke illegal product out in public. They don't care. They'll drive around with it. They buy it. I don't know those people.
Okay. To at the event tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So people will be able to get...
Yes, it's at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown from noon to 6. It's free. Family-friendly, pet-friendly. We've got a pet station and everything. Wear a costume if you'd like. We're just going to have a great time. And there's something for everybody. Frank and Lola is a taco spot. Mm-hmm. Bunch of fun stuff.
They do good work. I'm going to hang on with me for a second. I want to come back. Get a few minutes with you to talk about where we are with the medical and cannabis commission and what seems like a backlash. Anybody's thrown a bait caster rod in the wind and had a big backlash. It seems like it's a massive backlash. It gets worse.
Absolutely.
The more they try to work on it, more the backlash.
Every time they touch it, gets worse.
Yeah. Coming right back. More with Jennifer Boozer from Cannabama right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Okay, so Monday's the day that... If you look at the psychologists say people start a new thing on a Monday. Okay. Well, you've heard this, like Mondays when you get started with new. Okay. But you can plan that stuff on a Friday and you can make that appointment to get the junk gone. You got junk in your house, outside your house. That's what's amazing. The number of giant trampolines and above ground swimming pools and swing sets that Trey and his crew get every week. Big stuff like that. Stuff inside a storage building you got to get rid of. He can handle it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And so what I'm saying is Monday you get that fresh start, but make the appointment today. It's as easy. You could do it there from your Barco lounger, your recliner. You could do it from your desk. You could do it sitting there parked in your car as well. Go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. Their name is the number. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Call, get an appointment made for Monday and get that junk on, or any other time. They'll make a real good old-fashioned appointment. That means a certain time of day and on a certain day. So you're there.
Nice.
Not this 7 a.m.
to 7
a.m. Yeah, no. Like they got an appointment thing like, oh, it's going to be Tuesday at 4:30. Okay, well, that's when it is.
Yes, that's nice.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Imagine.
Yeah, back to the old days on that. I love it. So check them out. You want to get junk gone? Use my friend Trey. He's been doing it for 16 years in Mobile and Baldwin County. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Continue our conversation with Jennifer Boozer from Cannabama, the host of Sweet Home Cannabama, Monday nights right here at FM Talk 106.5, and the boss, the event director,
the lobbyist.
The lobbyist, everything for tomorrow's 420 event, and doors open at?
12,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 at the shop,
yep.
And that's going on. And then I wanted to have a few minutes here to talk about medical cannabis policy here. And I've followed this from the beginning, because when Senator Melson was pushing for this, I have to say I was probably the only person in talk radio in the state, I think, that I know, that said this needs to happen.
Right. I'm sure.
And he made some real compelling cases, and we talked about some of the studies that happened at UAB, and I said, if this stuff is helping people in these, then why not? You know, why not? And he thought the same way. So this was the easy part of it, the warm and fuzzy of it, that I said, people need this. It's going to help them. let's move forward with it. And then what in the Sam hell happened after that? It became so convoluted and confused. And
well, where do you want me to start? Do you want me to start with the lack of licenses from last year?
Yeah, well, I mean,
we're already almost a year into when we were supposed to have licenses.
And people, here's, I keep coming back to the final consumer, the people that needed it,
absolutely,
they still don't have it legally.
That's right. Yeah. And there may be people dying. I mean, it's that serious.
Yeah.
But I mean, seriously, we were supposed to have licenses June 12th. And then 5 days later, they took them back. Mm-hmm. Then they gave them in August. Then they took them back. And then they gave them, I can't remember what month it was, a couple months ago. But they only gave them to the single license holders, not integrated facility and not dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to let everybody go ahead and you can grow it, you could process it, you can drive it around. There's nowhere to sell it.
Right.
So, and every day that drags on, the people that are the single license holders who've already paid all their fees and have already started doing what they do, they just have to wait.
They just have to sit on, yeah.
And until there's a place, and I've opened 5 dispensaries, mm-hmm. my own and other people's. And it is not a slow or small thing. And it takes time. So every day that this is going on like it is, the patients suffer. But I know that the integrated facility license are highly controversial. There are like a dozen, I think, lawsuits.
Yeah.
There's a protection order in place. Judge Anderson has a TRO in place. And so all of a sudden, here comes this bill. And they're like, oh, we're just going to open up the medical bill to change the number of integrated facilities.
This is what they're talking about now with the...
Yeah. Yeah. And well, that was the beginning of this. And so we were like, excuse me, but if you open up that bill to amendments, every step of the way for that bill to get passed, it's going to get changed again and again and again and again. We've seen that with HB 65.
I wish it would have done... They did a better job at it in the first place, but now we're going...
Exactly.
We're up under the hood.
Well, and then there's the issue of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... There's a lot of us that believe that this bill, oh, let's just give everybody what they want, is an attempt to end the lawsuits before all of the discovery becomes public. Because I've spoken to some of those people in the background and been told that there were several members of the committee that they could prove were corrupt. And that's just, it seems to be the status quo here.
So, but you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. So if you say, let's not make any adjustments to it, it's continues with the lawsuit, it doesn't go.
Right.
It doesn't
happen.
Well,
it's up to the judge to say, okay, do this and do this and do this. But then the lawsuits keep coming. No matter who gets a license, unless everyone gets a license. And
there's going to continue to be lawsuits.
There were 39 applicants.
I just don't know how they didn't see this coming in the Cannabis Commission and through the, that there wasn't going to be challenges to this, because they did answer it. And, you know, I had, you know, a lot of discussions as this was happening, and part of it did make sense. They said, well, they're gonna have a scoring system, and I know that from applying for like farm contracts. They score you on different, you know, you got this kind of, you're doing this, you got this kind of grass, this kind of, you know, trees, you got your cattle, your row crop, you know, they score you and you get the grant or not. But in this case, it seemed to be that they scored and then they went back and looked again and scored it differently.
Well, they had all these closed door meetings, and that was a problem. Because why are you meeting behind closed doors? So then they had to do all that again. Because you know, the chairman had to resign, and now this prominent physician has resigned, and he's one of the most important people, in my opinion, to be on the commission, because he's a physician and he's an epilepsy specialist. Mm-hmm. And that is one of our core issues, especially with children, is epileptic disorders.
That's what UAB first started looking at the
oil
for. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, that's what the entire CBD industry spawns from Charlotte's Web making this high CBD strain for a little girl with seizure problems. And
it happened
that
right
every
here
day.
In Alabama, y'all. That's
and we see that every single day, you know. And so
what happens next? We got like a 2 minute. I mean, the bill you're talking about is 276?
276. And apparently Senator Sessions brought it, and maybe they didn't tell him what it said because he was so shocked at the backlash. But we found out about it the night before. Me being
Senator David
in
Sessions,
a group of lobbyists.
State senator.
Yes. Yeah. And so we found out the night before that they were going to announce this on Tuesday and introduce this bill, and then they announced, boom, Wednesday hearing. And so everybody flocked, and he was surprised and shocked at the backlash, because there's a whole lot of things in here besides what number of integrated facilities. What does it mean to triple the number of integrated facilities for the single license holders? It creates this because seed to sale is the most efficient way to
sure.
do this.
Yeah, vertically integrated.
So they drive the prices down so low that these single license holders can't do business. And then when that's done, then they jack it up to whatever they want. And who does that serve? It doesn't serve the patient.
So what is this? Is this bill? I mean, do you think this?
I don't think it's going anywhere. Honestly,
by this time in session, if there's
they haven't even voted.
6 days left. A lot of times they just say we can't get this done, and it's not done.
The day that they had the hearing, right after the announcement, they did not take a vote. They elected not to take a vote because there were so many things flying around in the air. There was just no way, and it looked like nobody knew what was going on anyway.
Okay, well, I got a text line full of people who want to talk about this, so they get a chance to talk to you tomorrow and, of course, during your radio show.
Absolutely.
So 558
St. Francis Street for 420 Canabama. And, hey, it's 419. Don't forget to leave milk and cookies out for Willie Nelson tonight.
Keep pushing it. Okay, and get that. And then, of course, this is what you're doing on Monday nights, too.
Yes, Monday nights at 7 o'clock.
This
we talk about all of this legislation. Yeah. I have done nothing but talk about legislation for probably 2 months now. Unfortunately, every session we get just lambasted, so we're fighting bills on every front. But yeah, Monday nights at 7 o'clock, we're live. I'd love to get those text questions on Monday night, and you can email me at jennifer@canabama.com.
Well said. All right, good deal, and enjoy tomorrow, and then we'll see you back here at the station on Monday.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106. Looks like the text line already popping on that, and we'll talk about a harbinger of summertime, because I think I saw them walking into the opulent FM Talk 106.5 green room. JC's. When JC's show up, may have something to do with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. We'll let them answer that question here in just minutes on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Friday style. Glad to have you here. We talk. Yes, I have been invaded by JC's here. We'll get to that in just a second. From the JC's to the Ron's at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm good, man. It's Friday. All's good out there. What's happening at the shop? What's going on with gold right now?
We've been pretty busy. Gold's up over $2,400 an ounce. Silver is hovering right at $28 an ounce. So metals are holding their own. And a lot of people are getting into the metals. It seemed like everybody was kind of taking a step back and waiting to see if the prices would stabilize or go up or go down. And they've been very stable. So a lot of gold sold this week and a lot of silver.
Okay, let's talk about what that means for buying from y'all. There's number one, we talked about it a lot in the past, but people have forgotten that no tax, there's no sales tax on this because it's currency. But if they're looking to come in and buy and save some money when they make that buy, there's like, what would you advise people to do? What kind of bulk do they do to get the best deal?
Well, with silver, anything over 20 ounces, we can give them a discount. Gold, there's just not a big spread between buying and selling. It's about $40. So there's a little wiggle room if they want to buy like 50 or 60 ounces of gold, which is a lot of gold. But, I mean, we got it priced very competitively. So it's a very tight margin on those products. And people can shop online, shop around. The problem is, of course, online, you got to make sure you're getting something that's real. That's what it kind of worries a lot of people. And people do buy stuff online. They can bring it by the shop, and we'll test it for them at no charge. So, I mean, with silver, though, it doesn't take much to get a discount.
All right. Tell folks how to find you, Ron.
Located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can give us a call at the shop, 251-725-1590, or check us out on the web at mobilebaycoins.com.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right. There he goes, Ron from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Check in with him next week and see kind of the update on precious metals prices. And, it must be a harbinger of summer to come. I know you're like, Sullivan, it's April. But when you look up and you see JC's invade the studio, you got to think about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and Reynolds Brabner and Tommy McNichols in studio. Good to see y'all.
Good to see you, Sean.
You haven't broken anything yet, so that's good.
hands in pockets.
Yeah, keep sit on your hands. What are we looking at? The what this will be the
91st Alabama Deep Sea Fish Rodeo.
So y'all, it's catching on. I think it's going to, you know, it's going to stick around a while.
Oh yeah, we got some staying power right
now. I want to get you closer to that mic, Tommy. Yeah, this is, people don't realize it too. I like to set this up so you don't have to do it. The as Guinness World Book of Records says, the planet's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay. So that right here in our backyard. It's coming up. This is the time of year, too. I think, I mean, you're probably talking to anglers like me, but you're also talking to people who want to get involved with everything y'all do through this process.
That's right. Currently, our VP of Sales and Marketing, JT Loper, and VP of Awards, Chase Farley, are really hitting it hard, trying to find sponsors, trying to get our sponsor tip filled up, which, you know, it is getting there. But
that's where the air conditioning is.
That is where the air conditioning is. A very popular spot. But the more and more people we get, the more word of mouth gets around, and people really get excited about the accommodations we have for our sponsors.
You know, what's cool is you can offer. I'm just pitching for y'all, but you can offer the sponsors as you come in. You now have people who've shown you they like fishing, they like, you know, our lifestyle in South Alabama, and as they come through the air conditioned tent, you have a traffic flow that's impressive to put in front of their, you know, in front of their whatever they're selling.
Oh yeah, we get somewhere north of 75,000 spectators over the 4 days of the tournament through the radio site.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of folks. We tried to sink the island before, that's for sure.
I mean, you get the eyeballs in there. So if people want to, and I know there's different ways to get involved here to be in that sponsor's tent, but people just want to align themselves with what y'all do. They can, right now is the time.
Absolutely. So our VP of sales, again, JT Loper, his email is sales@ADSFR, but we are taking sponsorships and advertisements from all levels. So we have small ads in the book up to a president sponsor worth $10,000 and accommodations throughout.
Yeah, and you're talking about the 4 days. Of course, you're talking about the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. And
well, counting Roy Martin is 5 days.
Five days. So 5 days of the rodeo. It's always, I don't know what the actual date is this year. I know it's our third weekend, but
July 19th, 20th, and 21st. The Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament will be on the 13th.
Okay, so on the 13th. What do people need to know right now about this year's rodeo? I mean, I'm going to, you know, there's the big red question out there, but we don't know that one yet, right?
We won't know that for a while. Okay. That's, you know, kind of, we'll see if it's open or if it's not. But we will have shark this year.
Okay.
Stay tuned to our Facebook page for more information on that as it comes out. In addition to the contender boat, we have a 17-foot reaper, courtesy of Foster Marine, that will be given away in a second drawing.
So, oh, really?
Same as a contender, weigh a legal fish, and get your name in the hat for a chance at winning that boat.
And, okay, so if you don't get that, you're going to draw again.
We will draw twice, once for the contender.
And once for the...
Names back in the pot, drawn for the reaper boat. It doubles everybody's chances to win.
I don't remember, it's the first
time in a while we've given away a second boat. I think it was the 80th. We had a couple kayaks, but we had the scout boat and, at the time. I think it was like five boats that year, but this year's the first time we've since then.
Well, you just got my attention.
There you go.
And it's one of the geniuses of it because there's so much in the competitive portion of the rodeo where you're, you know, catching the biggest fish or catching the aggregate, you know, in different divisions. But the chance for everybody who weighs an illegal fish,
and it doesn't have to be the biggest.
It's what keeps us, I think, all engaged,
right?
You know, until cannon shot on Sunday.
It does. It kind of levels the playing field for, you know, for that big trophy, I guess.
Yeah, that's what leads me to daydreaming, right? Out there fishing, go, man, if I just get my name pulled, that'd be something. All right. Some questions. Okay, we'll get to some of these questions in just a second. Some of them are kind of, I may not ask them all. So going into this year, y'all also haven't changed your entertainment because, you know, it used to be, back in the old days, boys, it was just about fishing. Well, it was about goofing off, too, but it was about fishing. Then y'all turned it into some sort of music festival or something like that. Y'all still doing that?
We're kind of a music festival with a fishing tournament attached to it now.
Is that still going to be part of the...
It will have... I forget the bands, Tommy. You might could fill in that.
Well, you already got them lined up.
We've already got them locked in.
Already got them lined up.
You boys
we will get a schedule from our VP of Booze and... Venturing and Sessions. is J.W. Emanuel. I don't believe contracts are yet signed, but okay. Everything's pretty there. We're having the mailman Keith Burns on Sunday.
Okay.
but that is set. But the rest of them we'll need to finalize.
All right, you got a chance to talk to a lot of people that are kind of tuned in right now, thinking about, oh my gosh, that is July. That's not that far off. What do you want to tell them? What do they need to know now from the angler side too?
Well, from the angler side, you know, our tickets go on sale Father's Day weekend, so that's just something to kind of plan for.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as our angle, the experience on the dock will be a little bit different this year.
It will be. We're extending the boardwalk on the north side all the way to the property line.
Okay.
And we are making dock one and two one big dock. So we're closing it in. So it'll be quite.
So okay, one and two will be so the slip in between won't be there?
It'll be one big platform.
It'll be one big platform, correct.
Okay.
That's where all the all our big game, right, the big boats, right. That's where
they're on the south side of the
right,
dock.
Correct, yeah. Correct. The two south docks.
But we won't take any away from any parking space because that platform itself, the face of it, will offer two boats can park there.
Okay, yeah, so, side by side. Okay, I'm picturing now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In addition to that, we're adding a dock seven. To the north of our current, we have six docks closing in one and two, but we are adding a seventh dock. So our operation ought to be a lot more efficient, a lot cleaner moving forward. And
this is y'all all, you know, always expanded, you know, and I mean, there's so many changes over the years. You come back, if you could, and y'all may have the photographs of, you know, 1985, mm-hmm. what's it look like? 1995, what's it look like? 2005, 2015, 2025, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's grown exponentially. I mean, I've been in, this will be my 17th or 18th rodeo as a member, and I've been, you know, how we've grown since then is just, it's mind-blowing. It really is.
It is also something that's interesting we've talked about in the past. The number, because y'all will see it as you collect, you know, where people sign their tickets and all that. I just know from looking at license plates, this is our thing, but it's not just our thing. There are a lot of license plates that aren't Alabama here.
Right.
That's right. So looking through our ticket sales the past couple of years, we sold tickets in 26 separate states.
What?
Sorry, 25 separate states and in Puerto Rico.
Really?
It's wide-reaching, yes.
Yeah, I knew it was, you know, I was going to say 10 or so because I'm thinking about different plates I've seen.
Wyoming, Montana, Hawaii, Alaska, both.
Had people come
contributed
in.
To the tournament, so it's but yeah, you touched on the beginning, the Guinness World Record. Well, since then we are about 66% bigger.
How many anglers last year?
We had, I think it was about 3,500, between 3,000 and 3,500 anglers actually weigh fish. Now we sold ticket wise, we were, you know, north of like 4,200. Wow. So of that, you know, 3 to 3,500 actually came in and weighed fish, and I think the total fish weighed was somewhere around 5,000.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Did you total the number of pounds of fish? Oh,
we've got all the things, all the data on all that, you know, now, especially with the help of Fish and Chaos.
Yeah,
to track all that.
Don't get John all fired up. He was on the other day talking about it. The, you know, and also the science part of it, and we'll I think Dr. Powers actually is going to be on with me next week. Sean Powers, you know, we talk about this fish myths for fish researchers, that people, now we have anglers coming from all over, but they got fish researchers coming from all over, mm-hmm. to the rodeo to get these samples.
Oh, that's right. And that, they request samples immediately during and after the rodeo when they hear fish come in from literally all over the world.
Didn't you say there was a sample taken here that's in like a museum in England or something like that?
That's right. They have it on the, I think it's a Natural History Museum.
I think so.
In England, yes. They have a...
I know last year there was a specific species that Dr. Marcus Dryman was able to send samples across the world.
Yes.
And to be able to get science off of it, it was a once-in-a-lifetime fish for him. So he was super excited about that. Hopefully we'll hear back some of the data they're able to get on it this year.
It is cool because, yeah, you have us voluntarily trying to go get the biggest fish and, you know, which give them the best samples out there. And you think about the undercurrent. If you're just joining us, talking to Tommy McNichols and Reynolds Brabner with the JCs and the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. But we have things going on concurrently. The fishing tournament we all think about, and the music and the entertainment. Then you have the science. But something I like to pick y'all, point out with y'all every time you're in here, is y'all don't do this just to do this. You do this to bring back, you're a charitable group. JC's a volunteer group. You're
right.
Doing this.
Right. We're a civic organization.
Yeah, you're doing this for charity.
That's right. So throughout the year, we get sponsorships, ticket sales, T-shirt sales. Well, at the end of the year, our, let's call it, book zeroes out. So all money left over,
yes,
goes to charitable organizations, goes to the University of South Alabama Marine Sciences Department.
Which has been hefty over the years, what you've done for Marine Sciences.
Yeah, we're
just
somewhere
up to $500,000.
Gotta say, we're somewhere north of $500,000 in donations.
Wow.
In the last decade or so.
It's great stuff. We will get you back here before Father's Day for sure, and tickets go on sale.
Absolutely.
Alabama DC Fishing Rodeo. Make sure you have it on your calendar, and I will. And if you want to buy me my ticket, that's fine. You know, come Father's Day weekend. All right, coming right back, Ed Rowan joins me.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back to Midday Mobile, and good to see my friend Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino Rowan back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Sean, great to be here. Good to see you.
And tough subject to talk about, but the best person to talk about is an attorney who is also a Marine, and that is this thing we've talked about before, Camp Lejeune. And people here have heard us talk about Camp Lejeune. What happened? What is the water? What is Camp Lejeune? What is the story here that affected so many people?
Well, what you need to know, and people may have heard of it, but if they haven't, there was contaminated water at Camp Lejeune. It was caused by the military, and unfortunately, the top brass there and higher up in the Pentagon and places hid that fact. People, children, military members, their family got cancer, other strange diseases like Parkinson's, neurological disorders, and it really didn't come to light until the 80s, 90s, and they recently passed a law that allows compensation for those things.
Okay, so these were at a higher level, those maladies you just listed, than any population somebody somewhere else. I mean, this really clusters around Camp Lejeune, people that were there.
Yeah, you would have to have lived or been stationed there and reporting there every day from the 50s to the late 80s.
But it's not just Marines like you. I mean, you just mentioned families, because they were drinking the same water, right?
That's right. Yeah, we represent many deceased children that were born there, that grew up. Some that grew up there, they got cancer. They're still living, thank goodness. Yeah, so it's not always just military people; it's their entire families. So, if anybody knows of a possible claim, like somebody had a strange illness, or they had a sibling or a cousin that lives at Camp Lejeune that died of strange illness, certainly cancer, let us look into it, because it's a real claim. The government has admitted liability.
Yeah, but it's not forever. You told me there's a deadline on
this. There's a deadline. We've got about 8-9 months. August of 2024 is the deadline. And that comes fast, let me tell you.
So if somebody just is thinking, well, it was not even them specifically, it was, my sibling or something like that. Yeah. We were at Camp Lejeune. It's, even if that person's passed, Ed, what can y'all do at Taylor Martino Rowan? Do you investigate that? Then somebody's not with us anymore.
Well, where there's records, we'll find them. A lot of times we've had to go into the records in North Carolina and find evidence that people live there. We take childhood photographs. We even had a little 8th grade diploma type thing of someone, that we've used to prove that they, lived there and went to school there. So, it's sort of interesting, because you get to investigate and prove that people were there. If they're not military, there's going to be a record of that. But if they're a child or a spouse or something like that, there may not be a record of that. The military won't. So you have to prove that. And so that can be very interesting.
Okay. So even doing that, y'all are good at doing that research, but it takes time, which is more important about this deadline coming up in August.
That's right. So we need time to investigate the claim. I'm not saying that if somebody, showed up at my door, the day before the deadline ran and, they were adamant and they, proved that to me, at least, that they were there, I would do my best to file the claim. But you can't just go into an attorney's office the day before a claim is about to expire and expect for your claim to be preserved. So you have to act fast, give the attorney hopefully at least months to investigate it and deal with the matters. And you know, so they just need to reach out, ask us questions.
Yeah, and they should feel, I mean, a fairly unique person, an attorney that is looking at this case who is also a Marine. You speak their language, you know, you know, what it's like to be a Marine. And so people, I mean, I imagine it helps ease into that conversation with you.
Yeah, it has comforted people, you know, particularly, you know, people that lost their dad or their mom or their sibling or whatever, you know, to know that, you know, someone that served there at Camp Lejeune, and that served in the Marine Corps is going to be handling this, you know, because, and, you know, I give them my word and my honor, that I'm going to make sure that their claim's protected. And, you know, people need reassurance because it's a terrible, terrible thing. They're dealing with cancers and death. And then they find out that it was because of somebody intentionally dumping chemicals and then hiding it. And so, you know, the emotions are there and they're high.
For sure. Once again, somebody's listening to us right now talk about this. They want to get in touch with you. What do they do? What's the process here?
They can just, you know, Google Taylor Martina Rowan, and they can call us at 251-433-3131.
Ed, it's always good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.
Another rave review for the Ben Murphy Roofing Company. This customer says it's been difficult to find a professional contractor since Hurricane Sally, one that doesn't leave before the job is done and then never return. Well, not Ben Murphy Roofing. They were great to work with. The office staff was so helpful and patient with us picking out our Atlas shingles, and the workers went to work and stayed with it. It only took 2 days, and the cleanup was remarkable. We could not have been more pleased with the work from Ben Murphy Roofing and are extremely satisfied with how our new roof looks. To repair or replace, contact Ben Murphy Roofing in Foley. Ben Murphy, CEO. Dot com.